Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
We have Vistra with us, Miss Pam Whitehead, who is one of our North American missionaries. She's a bit different than some of our North American missionaries in the fact that when we give to the cooperative program, when we give the Annie Armstrong offering, she doesn't receive any of those funds, but we give to her through the funnel of NAM. So our church gives to her monthly, our missions committee gives to her monthly, and we give to NAM and we designate it to her ministry along with other individuals and other churches, right? And so in a moment, after we get in the Word for a minute, we're going to hear from her at length about what the Lord, you're going to be introduced to her. Some of you already know her. Who remembers Miss Pam from last time she was here? Good. She'll introduce her ministry. I'm going to let her do that. She's in Monroe, Georgia, and some of us got to visit her last spring. Lord's doing and has been doing a phenomenal work up there for several years now, and so we have the privilege of kind of being updated on what he's doing currently now through Miss Pam and some others that are there, part of the Conestoga Mission in Monroe. So that is the direction we're heading, just a kind of preview of what's to come. So my hope this morning is that as we get in the Word, we will be challenged by what we see in Jesus's ministry. And also as we hear from Miss Pam and what the Lord's doing up in Monroe, Georgia, we will be challenged by what God is doing and encouraged by what God is doing in Monroe. And my prayer is that we would be moved to continue to support her and also be moved to duplicate that ministry right here in Cairo in our individual lives and our life as a church. So, you ready? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, God. We thank you for your word that never changes but is living and active. We thank you for your work that is happening around our globe. Some here, right here in our backyard that we get to be a part of, and then other portions of it being in places like Monroe. We thank you for having Miss Pam Whitehead here with us, who we get to hear from her about what you're doing in Monroe. And Lord, we just pray that you would just continue to bless our time together with your presence. Lord, we pray that you would move in the hearts of the believer to make us more like you this morning. And we pray that you would move in the heart of the unbeliever, Lord, that they would come to a place of faith in your son's life, death and resurrection, and repentance, and receive salvation that only you can give. Lord, we love you and we pray for these things in the name of your precious son, Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 21 through 43. I'm just going to read the whole chunk. I want to encourage you to follow along with me in your copy of God's Word. And then we're going to just pull two truth pieces out of this passage. There's a lot to be said about this passage. We don't have time to say all of it this morning, but we're just going to kind of pull two highlights out of it this morning. Verse 21 of Mark chapter 5. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him, Jesus, earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well, be made well and live." And Jesus went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard that the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went and where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. Amen. Two pieces of truth this morning. And again, there's a lot to be pulled out of here. We're not going to pull all of it. But the first piece that we're going to pull out is this. That when we as a church or we as individual Christians serve the least of these, serve the outcasts, the rejects of our society, those who are not commonly accepted by society, we will be inconvenienced. Now, let me say it one more time. When we serve the least of these, we will be inconvenienced. Verses 21 through 24, verse 21, we see, "And Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side." So Jesus had been on the other side of the sea, and on the other side of the sea, he had encountered a naked, demon-possessed man, cast the demons out, sent the man back to his hometown, got back in the boat, crossed back over the sea, and is bombarded by crowds once again on this side of the sea, waiting for him to teach, waiting for him to perform miracles. Jesus could have done a number of things. He could have sat down and taught the people, as he did on several occasions. He could have said, "I need a nap. I need some time with my Father. I need to go pray," and gone and found a solitude place and spent some time alone. Or he could have sat down with people who needed him there in the crowds and healed them. And in the midst of this opportunity comes this man with a sick daughter who is at his house and begs him to come to his house. See, Jesus' day was interrupted. Jesus could have viewed this as an inconvenience. "I have all these people before me. I'm tired. I've already been doing ministry all day. I just crossed the sea for the second time. I need to nap, or I need to teach, or I need to help these people." But instead, it says in verse 24, "And he," Jesus, "went with him." That is Jairus, the man with the sick daughter. Jesus could have viewed this as an inconvenience, but he saw it as an opportunity to minister and to serve these people. See, this little girl would have been seen by most of the people in her town and perhaps the surrounding towns as someone who is on the edge of society. She would have been, at that moment, being cast out to the edge, not literally, not physically, but in society, becoming an outcast. One, because she was sick and she was dying. She could no longer contribute to the ongoing work of surviving and living in her society. Two, she was a child, and children at that point in history, not because the Bible said so, but because of just that point in history, were not viewed as valuable. And three, because she was a little girl, who were viewed as less valuable than little boys, because little boys would grow up to become men. And again, that wasn't a biblical belief, that was just cultural. And so this little child who was a girl was dying, and every moment that passed by, she was losing her value to the culture around her. And her father, probably the only one of the only people left on the planet that valued this little girl, pleads with Jesus, and Jesus decides she's valuable enough to go out of his way to go heal this girl. And in the midst of that, another person comes and approaches Jesus, a woman who is sick. She's been sick for 12 years, bleeding. And this probably had to do with something surrounding the fact that she was a woman. So she was probably considered unclean for 12 years, spiritually, religiously considered to be, needed to be separated from everyone else. For 12 years, spending all of her money trying to be healed. For 12 years, suffering, according to God's word, suffering under the hands of many physicians who didn't heal her, but in their efforts actually made her worse. She too was an outcast. She wasn't even supposed to be around other people because she would have been considered unclean because of her bleeding. Sick, at this point dying, financially poor. There is no one, unlike the girl who had her father advocating for her, this woman who was sick that we're introduced to in verses 25 on down, she doesn't have anyone advocating for her. She is by herself. She doesn't even approach Jesus face to face. She just thinks, if I can just get to him and touch his garment, I will be healed. Jesus knows someone has touched him, knows that power has gone out of his body to someone else, and he stops. And my guess is Jesus probably knew exactly who it was, but he wanted that person to identify themselves. He says, "Who touched me?" And this woman comes forward, and his disciples are ready to rebuke her. Jesus, we got the synagogue ruler's daughter to see about. And before then, we had all these other people that are following you currently to see about. And this woman, who is not supposed to even be touching anyone, has touched you. We need to keep moving. And Jesus, in compassion, doesn't keep moving. He looks at the woman and he says, "Woman, your faith in me has made you well." See, Jesus could have viewed this as an inconvenience, but he didn't. He saw it as an opportunity to minister to her. If you pay attention to this, it's like Jesus's inconvenience was inconvenience. His interruption for his day, this man coming to him on behalf of his daughter, interrupted his day, and then that interruption was interrupted. It's like you get detoured on your way somewhere, and in the midst of a detour, you get detoured again. In church, we don't need to miss this, because if we minister to the least of these, as Jesus did, we will be inconvenienced. Our detours will have detours on them. Our interruptions will be interrupted. And we should be thankful for those interruptions and see them as opportunities, because that is precisely what our Lord, who we say we follow, did. And today we get to hear from Miss Pam, who is involved with the ministry that the Lord has put together, but she's been at the forefront of it for years now, of a ministry that is filled with people who are on the edge of society, who have been pushed out, and a ministry that is filled with interruptions of interruptions and filled with hard days and long days and awaiting to see fruit. But she continues, and we continue to support her because this is precisely the kind of ministry that Jesus did to the least of these. And that brings us to our last truth piece this morning, and that is this, that when we serve the least of these and we're inconvenienced and interrupted and we see those things as opportunities, we actually get to be a part of something. We get to reflect the gospel. The girl we see whose father approached Jesus, she could not save herself. She was sick and she was dying, and we see in this passage later on that she actually did die. Jesus raised her up from the dead. Medicine could not save this girl. Her loved ones, her father pleading on behalf of her, seeking help for her, could not save her. She was helpless and hopeless. This woman was also helpless and hopeless. She could not save herself. Physicians could not save her. Medicine could not save her. If she had any loved ones at any point in her life, they could not save her. She also was helpless and hopeless and quickly approaching death. And Jesus rescued them both. And this is what God does throughout His Word if we pay attention. We go back to Genesis and we see that the human race is entrenched in sin. And Jesus, God the Father, saves us, the human race, through Noah when we were helpless and hopeless. We fast forward a few more chapters and we see that His people, God's people, are dying from a famine, and God intervenes with Jacob and saves His helpless and hopeless people. We fast forward again to Exodus and we find His people enslaved in Egypt under the hand of Pharaoh, dying. And God intervenes and rescues them when they were helpless and hopeless by the hand of Moses. Fast forward again and we see it happen again with Joshua, God's people facing insurmountable odds as they go into the promised land, facing people that were bigger and stronger and better weapons than they had. And God rescues His helpless and hopeless people. David and Goliath, God rescues His helpless and hopeless people. And we fast forward to the Gospels and we see that God, once again, through Jesus, is providing rescue for helpless and hopeless sinners through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This is what God does. And when we serve the least of these here in Grady County and Cairo, and when we partner with Miss Pam and she is serving the least of these in Monroe, Georgia, when we seek them out, when we save them a seat in the pew beside us, when we welcome them into our faith family, include them in our Sunday school classes, and give them a place to make disciples who will make disciples and a family to do that with, we get to reflect exactly who Jesus is and what He does. And what He did in the lives of these two women. And not only that, but we get to reflect what Jesus did for us on the cross. Ephesians 2 says, "While we were dead in our trespasses and sin, God made us alive together with Christ." We could paraphrase that and say that while we were helpless and hopeless spiritually, damned for hell, God sent His only Son, Jesus, to live the life we should have, to die the death we deserved, and then raise victoriously, giving those who place faith in Him victory over sin and death for eternity, and life with Him for eternity. While we were yet helpless and hopeless, He did that for us. And all that is required of us is faith, the same faith that was required of the girl's father and the woman. And we see this reflected in this passage. Verse 34, Jesus looks at the woman and He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." See, in order for the sinner to be saved, we don't do anything. We simply believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and repent of our sin. Turn to Him to save us. Later on in verse 6, before He actually raises the girl from the dead, He looks at the girl's father and He says, "Do not fear, only believe." That word "believe" in our English Bible is the same word as faith in verse 34. Only have faith. So how can a helpless, hopeless sinner be saved spiritually? It is place faith in the only one who can save us, who can rescue us, the only one who is able and willing to rescue us, Jesus, in His life, death, and resurrection. This morning, we have the privilege of hearing about a ministry and every bit of that ministry is about that. It may start with a physical need. It may start with a friendship, or it may start with a Bible study. But it is about pointing helpless and hopeless sinners to the only one who can save them. Those of us who are Christians, we were once helpless and hopeless. And we can praise God today as we close for the fact that He sent Jesus for us on our behalf to rescue us. We can praise God today that following Jesus is more than just behaving. It's actually being on the same mission that He is on and doing the things that Miss Pam is doing, but right here in Cairo and supporting others that are doing that same thing like Miss Pam. So, Christian, we have a lot to do, and a God who's going to enable us to do it. If you're here today and you know that you are helpless and hopeless apart from Jesus' work on the cross, but you have yet to place faith in Him, this is an invitation to you to do that this morning. You can come forward as we sing. Miss Karen, Brother Hayward, would you come? Where are you? I'll get you to come back up here one more time. And we are going to stand and sing Freely, Freely. Would you stand with me? I want to pray as Brother Hayward comes up here. Father, we thank you for Miss Pam. We thank you for the work that you're doing in Monroe. We thank you for those people there in Conestoga that have come to know you, that have begun to follow you, and not just know you personally, but seek to make you known to others. Lord, may we do the same thing here at Eastside. Lord, we pray that you would give Miss Pam all that she needs, all that the mission there needs. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being part of that. Lord, we love you, and we just pray that you would lead us to respond in a way that glorifies your name. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
My name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure.